Republicans in Lansing are split over whether people who bankroll so-called issue ads should be allowed to remain anonymous. Now, issue ads are the ones that attack or support politicians or causes, but they don't use what are called magic words, words like vote for or oppose. Unlike campaign ads, the money behind issue ads can be anonymous. But late last week, Michigan Secretary of State Ruth Johnson proposed new rules requiring disclosure of issue ad donations. She said all too often, issue ads are just thinly disguised political ads, and voters ought to know who's paying for them. But many Republicans clearly disagree. In fact, within mere hours of Johnson's proposal, the GOP-led Senate acted quickly to amend a campaign finance bill that would make her new rules illegal. Joining us now is Rich Robinson, Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Welcome back, Rich.
Thanks, Cindy. Good to be with you.
Also joining us is Jonathan Osting, who's a Capital reporter for MLive.com. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hi, Cindy.
Rich, I'd like to start with you. You are a tireless advocate for more campaign finance disclosure, more transparency. So I'm guessing at first you were pretty pleased with the new rules proposed by Ruth Johnson and then disappointed or maybe surprised by the Senate's action?
Well, I was very pleased with the news release Secretary Johnson put out. I was much disappointed in the letter that she gave to the State Bar of Michigan in response to their request for a declaratory ruling on the disclosure rules. She denied their request, saying that she couldn't divide the baby. She can't make a rule affecting just judicial campaigns and not other campaigns. So rather than saying, let's have disclosure in all campaigns, she said, let's have none, and punted it off to an administrative rules process. Evidently, that was enough to shake some people, Republican interest groups in particular, and as it manifested itself in the Senate. The committee that was considering a bill to double contribution limits went into an hour-long recess, came back with a slapdash amendment that appeared to be trying to preclude the possibility of an administrative rule proposed by Secretary Johnson, and that very quickly went from committee and passed the full House,
the full Senate, rather. At lightning speed.
At lightning speed, and Jonathan can address that better than I can. He witnessed that.
So, Jonathan, tell us about that. That was, you know, when you think of how often and much debate it takes sometimes to get some kind of an issue across, this sure didn't take long, did it?
No, it didn't, and it's not the first recent example. The Republican legislature also quickly moved to court of claims bills recently, so we saw some recent precedent for this. But like that court of claims bill, this campaign finance bill was only introduced 2 weeks ago. It had one committee hearing canceled abruptly, finally came back and did another one, made these changes, sent it to the Senate floor the same day, and it's now moving to the House. So certainly, you know, if you blinked, you would have missed it. And maybe that's the point.
Well, Jonathan, yeah, Rob could have been. What are the proponents of nondisclosure saying, meaning basically the Republicans who slam dunked that bill making Johnson's administrative rules moot? What, they believe this is free speech or what?
Yeah, exactly. They're tying it to free speech. They're saying that you know, increased disclosure of legitimate issue ads could be seen as a form of intimidation for those who bankroll the ads. However, I think the distinction here is the idea of legitimate issue advertising, whereby somebody does promote an idea or tell a legislature to act on a specific topic. Secretary of State Ruth Johnson's administrative rule would have applied just to ads immediately before a primary or general election, which she sees as electioneering ads rather than issue ads. Mm. She actually didn't use the word issue ads at all in her release, you might notice.
What did she use?
Electioneering ads.
Electioneering.
That's exactly. They're also called sham issue advertising by some critics. She didn't go that far, but there's a slight distinction, I suppose.
Let me ask you, Jonathan, what do you think have been the consequences of this kind of throwdown between the Secretary of State and Republican lawmakers? What are you hearing?
You know, I'm not really sure. Secretary Johnson did her press call, of course, before the rules were changed. In fact, while they were being, while the Senate was changing its bill, so I didn't hear a much of a reaction from her just yet. Arlen Meekhoff, who sponsored the bill and proposed the amendment, refused to say that the change was a direct response to Secretary of State Johnson's proposed rule. However, I think it's pretty evident that, you know, one came directly after the other.
That couldn't, no one could drag that out of him.
no, he, you know, Arlen Meekhoff is supposedly positioning himself for a Senate Majority Leader run, and he was very diplomatic in his responses, we could say.
Rich Robinson, does this feel like the status quo in Michigan will be the continuation of this so-called dark money, that there are just way too many interests pushing for nondisclosure?
Well, I don't necessarily think so. For one thing, the Supreme Court has spoken in the past on the words of express advocacy as a standard for differentiating campaign spending from issue advocacy, and they said the idea of express advocacy as a standard is functionally meaningless. So I don't think that that's going to hold water necessarily. I'm not sure this bill as it is will pass the House. The margins are much closer in the House than they were in the Senate, and you'll note that a number of senators who are regarded to be in marginal seats were allowed to take a walk on this vote. And I'm not sure that everyone in the House or all the Republicans are going to want to line up and be identified as enablers of dark money going into an election year. Then there's the whole question of how the governor responds on all of this. He's taken some criticism for running a 501c4 corporation that hasn't disclosed who its donors were, and he seems to be chastened a bit by that, saying that there won't be any more contributions to that particular fund.
And to the nerd fund?
To the nerd fund. So he may have gotten a message here that what the citizens of this state are interested in is transparency and accountability. And I went back and looked at his governor-elect website, where he made a rousing statement on the fact that we need to have transparency and accountability in state government. So he may be reverting back to his values. It may be that his blush with being a politician didn't sit well with him. So I'm not sure how this whole thing's going to come out.
In the meantime, Jonathan Oesting, the Senate passed legislation that would increase, in fact, double donor limits to political campaigns. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, since 1977, I believe we've had limits of, I think it's $500 that an individual can donate to a state house candidate, $1,000 for a Senate candidate, and $3,400 for a statewide election. This would double that for the first time since 77, and it would also include a mechanism whereby the Secretary of State would have to adjust those limits every 4 years to match inflation. On the political side, Rich mentioned he's not sure it will pass in the House. Well, I think it could face a little more opposition there, and here's why. The bill also includes a deletion of a prohibition on political party caucuses spending in a primary election, and some Tea Party members or potential challengers see that as an attempt by the status quo to protect the establishment candidates. So that could become an issue as well as it comes up for a vote in the House.
Rich, what are your thoughts on this increase? What do you think it'll mean?
Well, it is a statistical truth that 99.99% of Michiganders never have an encounter with a contribution limit to a state candidate. This is literally a sop to the 1% of 1% of Michiganders who actually do bump their heads on that limit. The most we've ever had encounter a limit in an election year was our 2006 gubernatorial, and that year it was 99.85% who were not affected by the contribution limit. So this is something that just isn't needed, and it's a lot like saying, well, the inflation rate based on a market basket with a Learjet, a 10,000-square-foot house, and an 18-carat ruby has shown that we need to increase these limits. I mean, these just don't affect people. And it gives those who have the greatest leverage on office holders even more leverage. That's not what we need.
Rich Robinson speaking. He's the executive director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, and he was joined by Jonathan Osting, who's MLive's capital reporter. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.